Father, we give you praise, we give you glory, and we thank you tonight for what you would do in the lives of the people that you have gathered unto yourselves. We ask that you do us good and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We have decided to dedicate today as a day of feedback. We've been preaching for 16 days straight. And we wanted to create a window for a feedback mechanism. And so we have a catalog of questions. These are the questions we're able to extract from the feedback. And we trust God for wisdom to bring perspective to the concerns of the people of God. Before we start responding to the questions, I want to first of all say that I am not a custodian of all knowledge. So it is possible that one of the questions that is presented here, I may not have an answer for it. If we are in agreement on that, then I can proceed with the answers. And then secondly, in issues where I don't seem to feel that I have a wordy response to the questions, we have an isolated cloud of witness here that is socially distanced, and we might want to call upon any of the brethren that are physically present to respond. Amen. I say amen. Well, the first question comes from a brother called Emmanuel, and the initial that followed is C. Emmanuel C. And Emmanuel C said, "Sir, you said you prayed to have the consciousness of God to be able to overcome lying in your Easter sermon. How long and how much did you pray to have a revelation of the consciousness of God that enabled you to overcome lying? And how can one apply the same to overcome a sin challenge?" A sin challenge. Now, we were drawing from the book of Romans chapter 6. I think I need to read that verse of scripture before I begin to respond to you. You need to see the full package of deliverables in the book of Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. The Bible says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." I was on that scripture. And then we're also on a scripture in the book of Romans chapter 8, where we established what it means to be conscious of God. There were many admonitions that people, like someone like Apostle Paul, gave us, which suggests a consciousness of God that comes to us by reason of a revelation that is given unto us. It was Paul that said, "Know ye not that you are the temple of the Lord, and that the Holy Spirit dwelleth in you?" It is the average Christian knows that the Holy Spirit dwells in him. But that statement that Paul was saying, "Are you not aware?" it means it will have to come to you as a revelation that the Holy Spirit dwells in you. That revelation leaves you with a consciousness. And by the time you want to join yourself with something that is iniquity, that consciousness will become your first line of defense against every arsenal of sin that is thrown at your life. All right. We get these kind of questions whenever we are attending to believers. The believer normally comes up with a how long question. How long should I pray in order for me to qualify to come into an economy? How long does it take in order for the gates of heaven to be open to you and for God to occasion a manifestation? Now, the only thing that the Bible never tells us is how long. Because how long for me might be 2 years, and that is held up in the sovereignty of God. How long for you might be 14 years. How long for you might be 6 months. What we teach are the guiding principles so that anyone that is seeking a pilgrimage with God will know what to expect and the principles to apply. But we have gone beyond teaching if we know how long it will take, because that is held up in God's authority. And the scripture I have for this is in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, when the disciples came and asked the Lord. Let me read the question and probably also read the answer to us. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, there was a question. When they were therefore come together, verse 6, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own authority. In his own authority. So, the how long of a spiritual exercise, a spiritual activity, is held up in God's authority, and it is different for each individual. And probably it would have even been shorter for me if I had obeyed as swiftly as God intended. And so there's a human factor also that determines how long it might be. There is no text, no scripture, no wisdom by which a teacher can bring that kind of information to you with respect to your own peculiar walk with God. You are going to have to discover the how long by your compliance with the principles of the Lord, and then that will become a very veritable tool that you will use to teach other people. But I think that, brother, you need to seek the Lord. And in seeking the Lord, there is an encounter that he will administer to you. And that encounter is, you cannot retain the consciousness of God outside of a revelation. A revelation. Now, there were revelations I had from God, encounters I had from God, with respect to my stammering. Those revelations, I'm still conscious of them till now. Meanwhile, I studied chemistry many years ago. There are many equations I've forgotten. I know just a little in chemistry right now, because I've not practiced chemistry. We went and began to practice something else. So I studied it for 4 years. I don't remember so much of it anymore. But the revelation I had, the encounters I had with the Lord many years ago, I still remember them. Because encounters leaves a consciousness behind. So, Brother Emmanuel, I recommend that you take the issue of the sin that is in your life to God and express to God how that you are absolutely incapable of overcoming that sin and how desperately you need his involvement in order for you to overcome that barricade. You are going to have an experience with God which is going to be unique to your situation, sponsored by the economy of God. And victory will be registered thereby. We have another brother here. Is Odion. Brother Odion from the United States of America. Maybe I will turn this question over to another individual in this great assembly to provide a response for our brother. He said, "Good day, sir. My question is, how do I study the Bible and understand it? I get tired easily when I study. Can you recommend a study pattern for me? Also, I recently purchased some of your materials from Amazon, but they are not in paper form. I received them in a form of a link. Thank you." Yes, Apostle Michael Iropo, you have been studying your Bible, so come on, can you respond to this brother quickly? You can afford him the services of the microphone so that he can respond to Brother Dion. What do you have to say about this brother that is desirous of studying his Bible, but it gets boring, it gets tiring, and he needs some form of technical support? Yes. You don't need to stand up. Just. Meanwhile, you can flash his face so that Brother Odion will see who is responding to him.
Thank you, sir, for this privilege. I would like to refer him to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Paul was admonishing Timothy, and he said, "Until I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." He said, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." So there are two blocks. The first block is the approach. And he said, you read. Reading is just to make a habit of interacting with the Word of God as frequent as possible. Okay. It's not necessarily a study. It's just taking advantage of maybe a hunger for the knowledge of God. These things come sometimes after an encounter or after a meeting. You hear somebody expound on scripture and suddenly you find that you have a hunger for the Word of God. You respond quickly. And as you start reading, Paul said the next thing to do is exhortation. Exhortation is doctrinal positions and truths of scriptures that have been expounded by those that have understanding. So as you listen to some of these topics by ministers of the gospel that talks directly to your spirit, you would grow in your love for the Word of God. And thirdly, he said doctrine. That's where study, real study, comes in. Now you have a general understanding of scripture by reading. You have paid attention to exhortations on various teachings, and then you now sit down. You pick love, and you check the scriptures on love. You look at it. You begin to pick them by blocks. And Paul said, when you are doing this, this is the organic dimension to it, which is the second block. He said, meditate on these things. So when you lay hold on the truth, you don't just add it to a library of knowledge. You sit on it, set your mind and affection on it, and allow your spirit to internalize it. He said, when you meditate, give yourself wholly. So it's not something you do in a distracted environment. Create space for God to come into your life. He said, then your profiting will be made manifest to all. So it's reading, exhortation, doctrine, coupled or carried out in the atmosphere of meditation and a total commitment of yourself to it.
Wonderful. Brother Boniface, we want you to add something to that as we respond to Brother Odeon. He wants to spice up his Bible study life.
So thank you, sir.
Yes.
One of the things I learned from my little experience with God is this. When you want to go to God, you don't go with any idea of sufficiency. You go weak to be strengthened. You must completely surrender, give up any idea of a will or an understanding. And so when you go completely living on, depending on God, you will begin to to occasion his dimensions in your life. And so, when you are weak, he will strengthen you. When you go poor of knowledge, of worldly attachments, either certificate or whatever you think, wherever you think you are standing, he will give you a platform. And so if God gives you a platform, I think you'll move faster than whatever you think you know.
Amen. I want to read the scripture quickly. It's in the book of Acts chapter 8. It's in the book of Acts chapter 8 from verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose, and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He read what? Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit of God said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. The first question that Philip asked when he got there was, Understandest what thou readest? Understandest what thou readest? There are a lot of discoveries that we make when we study this functionary from Ethiopia. The first discovery we make about this functionary is that he was one of the few functionaries that came for this worship meeting that left with his crew. When you discover his portfolio, he was the Minister of Finance of Ethiopia. So it seems the guy had dropped an offering, and the offering had sent a shock wave through the financial basket, and there was a need to acknowledge the seed of all the books in the archives, because the books were in scrolls. Isaiah was given to the man, and while he was returning, he was reading it loud because the evangelist could hear the reading that the man was doing. And the first thing that Philip said when he joined the chariot was, Understandest thou what thou readest? And the man gave an answer. And he said, How can I except a man should guide me? Except a man should guide me. Your initial adventure into Bible study is not likely to be very profitable. You must, first of all, take advantage of the rich spoken ministry of any servant of God that God has connected your spirit with. You must be a student under that man first and foremost. You have heard my story before. I was and still am a student of Watchman Nee's ministry. I found his materials and I bought every single one that I had the resources to buy. Every single one that I saw, I bought. And I studied it so much and I preached it for a long time before the spirit of inspiration opened, and through the studies and the spirit that I had received from engaging in those materials, I was able to launch my own personal Bible study, and it was as sweet as the books that I read. How can I understand except a man guide me? When you doctrine, understanding the truth of the Word of God is something that God has given some people the grace for. And it is easier for you to latch onto the frequency of that grace and prosper from that grace and bountifully take advantage of that grace in the life of Maybe it might be a physical person that has a spoken ministry and has messages, or it might be through a book. For me, it was a book. And my start of material was this Whatmanese book that was called The Normal Christian Life. I still have a copy of that book, and I will have until my last day upon the face of the earth. No other book in the entire scope of Christian literature ever blessed me as much as that book did. Because in that book, the expositions that were in that book, I saw the desires that I had. I had the desire to be an expert expositor in the Word of God. And I found everything that I wanted to be in the ministry of Watchmanee. So it was easy for me to submit to that ministry. And I don't want to be more than that ministry. I want to be exactly and the exact representation of that spirit. Because that spirit was so accurate. The spirit of revelation that was upon that man's ministry was so accurate. And I felt that if I could be this accurate in my generation, if this would be the sign of my ministry, accuracy in doctrine, I'll be satisfied. So I worked with his materials for a long time. I was discipled by his materials, and I inherited the spirit with which he exposes scripture. And on the strength of that spirit, I was able to make personal discoveries in the scripture. How can I understand except a man guide me? Second point I need to raise is in the book of Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. In Daniel chapter 9 verse 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, in the first year of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. You will need some books to understand the book. So, I have a very robust Bible software. And in that software, I have commentaries, I have concordances, I have maps, I have charts, I have finance, because sometimes in scripture, exchange, money, I have all those things there. Do you understand? So when I'm reading and I come to a point and I'm stuck, I consult those books. You might consult seven of them, and the response you get from those books are not satisfactory. It doesn't satisfy the yearning. The research that you wanted to do, you don't seem to find any contribution from all of those materials. Sometimes you might find, sometimes you may not. But there is another addition to what I said. There is the place for human guidance. There is also the place of researching widely. This is not revelational. This thing that Daniel did was research, not revelation. For instance, before I come here for any contact, I have extensively researched on the subject matter. Just in case there is someone listening to me that is well exposed in scripture, in theology, he is well advanced, I will still be relevant, my ministry will still be relevant to him because it is adequate, apart from the spiritual substance, it is adequately researched so that people that are highly intellectual in their relationship with the scriptures can find the kind of ministration that will reach them. I, Daniel, understood my books. You might have a huge library, and that library might be totally irrelevant. In fact, it is recommended that we need to screen our library. It's not every book you need to read. Even though people might give you books, people might feel, okay, you need to read this. In fact, somebody sent me a carton of books, and I've not read anyone yet. Because the kind of books I need now is outside of the scope of what the person sent to me. There were books that were on my shelf for 12 years that I did not touch. It was after 12 years that they became relevant. So you need to, may the Lord help you to be able to know which book fits into, in terms of Christian literature, fits into the scope of the dealings of God on your life. If not, you will get lost in reading and you'll never get any understanding. So there are support books that you conduct your research with. I have a wide range of such support books. When I want to crack some codes in scripture, I go very wide, very wide. Those support books, there are some researches you might stumble upon that might give breath to the hunger that is in your spirit, and you are likely thereby to understand by books. Let me stop here for now so that I don't get to preach a sermon. If you put what Apostle Mike, what Brother Boniface, and the little that I shared together, you get something to start with, I believe. The next question is, somebody saying, you made mention of fasting 260 days and praying for 1 year, but the answer didn't come immediately. My question is, how did that 260 days impact your relationship with God? Well, if what I think your question is what it is, there is no spiritual initiative that you put in place that will not bring profit to you, whether you have a goal for it or not. But I must say something about the 260 days of fasting and prayer that I did. The fasting came on me. The desire to fast came on me. It's not the regular. Okay, my regular schedule now for fasting is that I open the year with 40 days of praying and fasting. That's the new directive I received from God. I don't need to be led. I'm already led. That if the year is starting, the way I start my year is that I go for 40 days prayer and fasting. And God witnessed this to me, and I found out that in the life of some people I respect, that happens to be their culture. What I'm saying is not a schedule of fasting. What I'm saying is the desire to fast just fell on me. And it was not as if I didn't make attempts to begin to eat, but anytime I ate, I purged. So it was beyond my my doing. And I continued like that in the fast, and there was so much grace. And the whole year was almost consumed. And I know some of you here have had such experiences before. Is there anybody that has that? Okay. Yes, okay. Please come on to share your own experience to this brother. I think he wants to be, Brother Odion wants to be a mighty spiritual man. The kind of questions he's asking. So let us help him with all the tools. What have you had supernatural fasting experiences before?
Yes.
Can you flash his face? Okay, yeah. Good.
Yes, it was exactly in 2013, around September. I was just fasting we usually fast during the weekend.
Okay.
And I said, okay, let me just fast, because I've just been transferred to a new
station.
Territory, new station. So I was just observing a fast. All of a sudden, I discovered I couldn't stop it. And that protracted until I had to build. There was a building project also that was going on. And I discovered I tried to stop this. As much as I tried to stop the fasting would not stop. I go to the office every morning, and before I come back, it's in the night. And every day, just like that.
How long did it last?
It lasts for 1 year.
1 good year. Okay. Yes. Turn the microphone to Sister Doshima. Because people are now thinking only men fast, only guys fast. Now, apart from this kind of fasting he is talking about, is apart from the normal schedules of fasting we do. This is a supernatural summon to participate in an agenda that is at stake in heaven, and God needs your partnership, he needs your participation. And whether you like it or not, he takes the desire for food from you, and if you violate it, you will purge. It is until that agenda is accomplished that God will now relax it. Then you can continue your normal one. If you do 5 days fasting per week, you can continue that one. But this one is supernatural. Have you ever had that experience before?
Yes, sir.
You have it frequently?
Yes, sir.
So what? How frequently and how do you manage it?
I've been fasting for the past 7 years. 7 to 8 years now.
Now, brother, don't start your first adventure with a 7 year adventure. People might say you are an AIDS victim. It is over time. Like now, if I fast, it doesn't affect my weight. Those days, if I fast a little, my trouser, the alignment, everything is out of order. But we seem to be more used to it now. It's not anything. Leaving food behind is not anything. Sometimes the reason why we eat is because we know that the body needs food, so we consciously eat because we are living a fasted life. This is a calling. This is a calling. This dimension of fasting straight for 7 years, it is part of the calling of an intercessor. Alright? It is part of the calling of an intercessor. The truth is, as each and every one of us begin to discover our gift, as an apostle by calling, I can operate in the prophetic, I can operate in the evangelistic ministry, I can operate in the fivefold ministry, but I'm strongest in the teaching ministry. That's my strongest grace. I'm strongest there. Every apostle, because of the emphasis of your apostolic ministry, we have an aspect of the anointing that is strongest. My strongest line of anointing is the teaching anointing. And I want to tell you that in order for you to adequately fund a teaching anointing spiritually, there is a kind of fasting. There's a fasting mode that you cannot escape if you want to have an accurate, impactful, consistent teaching ministry. Also, in the intercessory ministry, there is a type of fasting that you are going to, whether you like it or not, if you are going to succeed in that calling, the Holy Ghost is going to push you into that kind of fasting until it becomes a regular thing that you do. Right? So, for about 7 years, she's been fasting consistently. What kind of fast do you do, and how long do you normally do it per time?
So I didn't start at once. I started 3 days fast. But
now, let us define that fast. Is it 3 days, 6 to 6, or 3 days dry?
Yes, I started 3 days, 6 to 6.
Okay, 3 days,
and
6 to 6.
The grace came on me to stretch for 5 days.
5 days, 6 to 6.
Yes, six, okay. To six. Then from 5 days, 6 to 6, the grace multiplied. I started fasting dry for 7 days. 7 days dry.
7 days dry.
Yes.
Now,
it wasn't my...
Oh dear, don't start from 7 days dry. If you want to do dry, go for 3 days. And when you are done with the 3 days, reach out to us. We will now give you some information on how to recover from that, and when next you can go for another adventure. This one, the people talking here are masters. Be aware of that. All right.
Then they thank you.
You started the 7 days,
yes, sir,
dry. So tell us about dry fasting. So, okay, like the 7 days. What's the experience like?
It wasn't really easy, but the grace came. I had strength to move without being pushed by anybody, being encouraged by someone.
Which of the days is normally hardest for you?
It's the third day.
The third day. Well, the Lord will help us. So, is that the highest you have been able to do dry fasting, 7 days?
After then, When my son was about going to school,
yeah,
the grace came on me to stretch for a month. And I started the 1 month fast.
All right. So
while I was doing the fast,
there are some times I drive to her house and ask her to stop fasting. All right. So she started the 1 month fast to provide cover for the young lad. Oi! Meanwhile, this is the young lad. Shine him. Shine his face. I pray that now that most of us are becoming parents, that we'll have the grace to be able to pray for our children, to fast for our children. Amen. God will help us in the name of Jesus. But you must notice one word there. The grace came on her. If you try it in the flesh, you will end up in an aspect of the hospital. Maybe, I don't know if the intensive care unit will drip so that you can be resuscitated. But if there is grace, grace makes you to be able to do the supernatural naturally and to do the natural supernaturally. So what was the 1 month experience like?
When I started the 1 month fast, in fact, the grace was so intense that God was teaching me, showing me ways, places where I could touch, that things would go easier for him. And spiritually, and I was doing those things, and I was really enjoying the fact. I didn't feel so bad the way I used to feel anymore. I felt so easy. And I was communing with God, so it was like the strength was not mine, but God supplied the strength.
Now, there is a slogan I have, which I would like everybody to know. And the slogan says, inconsistency lies the power. If you wake up today and say, okay, you wake your wife up and say, I want us to begin to pray every night. The first night will be so discouraging because the grace will be little. And when you finish the prayer, that is if you finish the prayer, you will have back aches, stomach aches, and headaches. But if you, and then Satan will meet you at midday and say, hey, this your prayer is going to make you cripple. The way you are going, these are symptoms of arthritis. If you overcome that deception, and you go for the second day, you are going to notice a richer strand of grace. A time will come where it becomes a delight. And if you don't pray the way you used to pray, you are going to begin to feel bad because the Holy Spirit is going to begin to give you a sensation that He is missing you. Alright? Now, when those days come, it means grace is being administered on a high level. If you continue, what you think was impossible will become possible. So it depends on which line of grace you decide to exercise. If you exercise the grace of fasting and prayer, you will eventually become a champion. If you exercise the grace of Bible study and you go beyond the dryness and you are trusting God for a time of communion every time you open the scriptures, grace will be released. Inconsistency lies the power. There is nothing you do for God or do with God that doesn't eventually become a delight if you decide to be consistent. Alright? So she's been consistent in the place of fasting, and she's somebody that has authority in this field. And that's why I had to allow her to speak. Now, let's get the testimony of an evangelist. We have had an intercessor. So give him the microphone. Let him tell us about fasting. Then you will see that... yes, you are an evangelist. And how do you prepare for your meetings? What are the fasting requirements that is a constant that you need to fulfill in order for you to enter into the shape of your grace effectively?
Praise God. Actually, fasting, it humbles the flesh and makes you sensitive to the Spirit of God. Because you must understand that it's what God is doing. If I'm able to connect to it, then you have good reason. So fasting has a way of affecting the flesh.
The flesh, yeah.
So it humbles you and then makes you strong and sensitive in the Spirit. For instance, my case, I had an instruction, just like the teaching is the covenant. It depends on the nature of the terrain by God. Sometimes 7 days.
Dry. Or 6 to 6.
6 to 6.
Okay. Now I'm just trying to make people understand that the calling, your calling also affects your diet, your fasting diet. Your calling also affects the shape of your spiritual activity. Are you following what I'm talking about? Now, this lady that just spoke now, she's an intercessor. She does all kinds of fasting, dry fasting, 7 days, 14 days, and all of that. She does that. Her calling requires it. Now, I fast too, but I don't fast the way she does. But if I go 3 days, the anointing that comes can... So I don't fast the way she does. But don't get me wrong. I live a fasted life, okay? Don't get me wrong. But dry fasting, that thing they call dry fasting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 30 days, that kind of stuff she does. That's not what is required for my calling. In your Christian life, in your walk with God, do not copy other people. As you begin to grow in God, you begin to understand your own mold, your own anointing mold, your makeup. Are you with me? Now, if you find Apostle Mike sleeping, don't say, okay, as he's sleeping now, me too, I'm going to sleep. If you ever do anything because you saw somebody doing the same thing, you will be amazed. You don't know how his own anointing works. You don't know how the covenant he has with God. He might wake up from that sleep and just... I told you of one man that I worked with, a prophet. I will pray all night. He'll be sleeping. I was his boy. Then he'll wake up in the morning and say, "Zeike komine kura kulama." That's all. When we go for the crusade, he will use handkerchief and cure blindness. The anointing will be so powerful. Then after the crusade, he will tell me, say, "This night we are going to pray this night." Then when we get back, he will eat pounded yam and he will sleep. And then me, I will be praying. And one time, I attempted to come and sleep with him on the bed. He woke up and he so I prayed till daybreak. He now woke up again the second day and said, that was the prayer. We went for the meeting. He was, I mean, those days, you will never find someone that can use word of knowledge to call names. He was the first those days in the village. He will call your name, call your surname. The prophetic was so powerful. This was a man that we were going to pray for somebody that was about to die. And he took a motorbike. I sat at the back. As we were driving through the forest, he forgot the road. He came down from the bike and said, "Eike suko muro kosi kabaika." And the gift of word of knowledge opened. He drove that bike to that house. I saw him. He's a man of God. Now, but in my walk with God, I've never found that place in Jesus where you can sleep like that and then just wake up and pray like that, and then you move. So I have not found that discovery. I have not made it yet. But the fact that you saw somebody operating something like that should not be the reason why you should copy it. Because you don't know the covenant that is at work on the person's life. Obviously, he was flowing from the stream of a covenant. Because he will not pray. He will just come like that. And if he sleeps and he wakes up, oh, he can tell you your future. Kai. And those days of politics that they put posters, this is PDP, this is APC, he will come and look at a poster and say, Kai, this man didn't win. This one has lost. And once he says it, it comes to pass. But I've never seen that kind of oppression. And I will not tempt God to try to do that kind of thing. Me, I know the one that works for me. May the Lord help you to find yourself in the Spirit, in the name of Jesus. The lives of other people can be an encouragement to you, but there is a mold that you need to find which is peculiar to you. And when you find it, keep operating in that mold. Yes, go on.
So if the terrain is such that you need more energy, we go for 3 days dry, and you see God, 3 days dry.
Okay, how do you know what terrain needs the 3 days dry and what terrain does not need it?
Every environment has its own manifestation, and the manifestation will determine the spirit that governs it. Like for instance, we went for a crusade in a place, Kasnala, where Ghana, the notorious terrorist, is from. We needed to be encouraged by ourselves. So we need to go deep in God and receive a word of assurance that if you are going, you are coming back. So in such, you need to do everything you know how to do in order to receive assurance from God. And fasting, just as I said before, he humbles you so that every other vice will be closed. You hear the voice of God. And it brings you to a level of total dependence on God.
On God.
So if it is a place that we are not too sure, and the time factor also matters, we go on 3 days dry, it can also account for the 7 days. If it's where we have time, we take 7 days and plan and pray. So it's between 3 days dry and 7 days normal fast. Apart from the normal fasted
life
that we live.
Yeah. So we are sentenced to the fasted life. That's our sentence. But if you are going for something serious, you will step higher in your praying. You will step higher in your fasting. The things that you like, forbid them. If you like too much sleep, cut it off. Anything you like, just forbid it. It's forbidden. Then alignment is achieved in the spirit and grace is poured into your vessel. Hallelujah. I've forgotten something. If I remember again, I'll recall. Remember that the anointing that you carry determines what is required for you to keep up with God. The anointing is what determines the kind of spiritual exercises that you are involved with in order for you to keep up with God. Now, we have a sister here. Her name is Amanda. She says, during the service, that is yesterday, you mentioned that you used to be a sickly person when you were younger, and God healed you. And later on in life, He is using you in a healing ministry. I've been having some strange symptoms for some time now. It started towards the end of my pregnancy with my son and has continued. My son is now 18 months, and I've been to churches where I know the power of God is working mightily. I've been on various medications, but yet to no avail. I've seen people healed in the same places, yet the symptoms persist. After hearing you yesterday, it got me thinking, could this be a test from God? Who can respond to the sister? Could it be a test from God? Listen to me and listen carefully. God will not use sickness to test you. God can use prosperity to test you. He can use a position to test you. He can use a privilege to test you. He can use an opportunity to test you. God will not use sickness to test you. Sister Amanda, before the end of this meeting, we are going to pray for you as a congregation. I don't know where you are because you didn't tell us where you were listening from. But before the end of this service, we are going to stretch our hands and pray for you and break the yoke. And you never told us the symptoms that you have. So if you wish, you may wish to now share with us the symptoms that you have, and if the ailment that you are having has a name, you can tell us the name. And we're going to pray with you before we end today, and we'll get a feedback before the meeting tomorrow. And just because of the request that you have made, maybe before the end of this week, we will do an online healing meeting. We'll just teach and pray for the sick. And then you will give us feedback. Do you know that people have been healed just from the teaching? We have had feedbacks. We have had testimonies of healings, of deliverances, terrible deliverances during the course of this meeting. It's just that we don't have enough time to share. But Amanda, your case has reached the parliament, and the parliament will take a decision in the place of prayer about this, your challenge. Just give us a little information, the symptoms, and if it has a name, you can share the name with us. I strongly believe that if one knows that God is in the center of what is happening in their lives, whether good or otherwise, they might be more inclined to endure it adequately. Amanda, don't endure again. Just give us the details that we need, and we will pray with you right away. We have another brother here, Udom Uwem. Oh, Udom Uwem, he's asking us to do a teaching. Yes, so Uwem, we're going to do a teaching that responds to your question, because he brought a few scriptures and he's asking if it will be possible for us to attend to those scriptures in a teaching service. So we have heard your request and we're going to respond adequately in the name of Jesus. There is another guy here, Musa Masia from South Africa. I've had a battle that has stretched for more than 10 years long now. I've received strange attacks and have fought back, applied all I know, but the attacks and the afflictions continue. My question is, what are the things that can hinder a man from being free? Where am I missing it? Pastor Tony, can you respond to him? What are the things that can hinder a man from being free? Yes. Let Pastor Tony respond to Musa Masia.
Thank you very much, sir. This particular issue is kind of subjective.
Okay.
If we knew what the issue he was talking about is...
Okay, Musa Masia, can you be more explicit on what your condition is? What kind of attacks are you talking about? Let us know the attacks, and we'll be able to respond to you more accurately. But yes, that's true. No, it's okay. Let's get... You are still on the spotlight. Mr. Austin is asking from Italy, what is the difference between a call of God and a man chosen by God? A call of God and a man chosen by God. I just hope, well, any meaning you make of this question, you might respond to it. A call of God.
Thank you very much, sir.
And a man chosen by God.
When we talk about the call of God, it's more of the destiny that God has placed upon a man to accomplish. It's almost like the encoding of the program that God wants that man to come and accomplish in the face of the earth. Is what is the call of God on the life of that man. Like we have in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, God was speaking to Jeremiah. He said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of your mother's womb, I already ordained you a prophet unto the nations." And all of those ordinations carries assignment within to pull down, to cast down, to throw down, to plant, and to build. It means before Jeremiah was born, God already had the specifics. He had the idea, the intention of what Jeremiah was meant to come and do. And all of this happened before Jeremiah was born. Now, when we talk about when God chooses a man,
Let's assume that we have five evangelists.
Five evangelists. Yeah.
Yes, in West Africa. Five upcoming evangelists in West Africa. We have five upcoming evangelists in West Africa. And there is a vacancy in the spirit. And only one person can fill that vacancy. These people are called. They are operating in their calling. But now there's a vacancy. And the vacancy will occasion that one of them be chosen.
Acts chapter 14, if my guess is accurate, is verse 17, where Paul talks about the things that God does to us and that he gives us fruitful seasons. There are things that there are fruitful seasons in God. Comes just like Ecclesiastes chapter 3 said, to everything there is a time and a season to every purpose. So whenever a particular purpose of God that is appointed over a generation becomes ready for manifestation, God looks at the men. There are people that carry call eternally from God, but in time there are different dispositions that are required to carry out particular assignments. If you find in a situation, just like you're talking about evangelists and all of that now, and then you find a community where you have people who are broken, they are prostitutes, they are drug addicts, they are womanizers, drunks, and all of that, and God wants to visit them, and there are five evangelists, you will find, and among these five evangelists, there is one that happened to have, that has a history in the situation in such places. And the compassion in his heart will be more open towards such particular demography of people. And if this one has had that constant dealing with God along that line, it influences God's choice to carry out a particular assignment. So if it has to do with maybe rehabilitation of prostitutes, you cannot have somebody who is a strong man, he has never had issues with his life. He will not understand what those people are going through. And all of that. But if you find somebody among those five evangelists, there is this one that maybe he has been a womanizer before, he has been to pornography and masturbation before. And when people mention such issues, he can identify with what they are talking about. He is being touched with the feeling of their infirmity. It becomes easy for him to give himself out to be used. And when God sees those dispositions, it affects his choice of who among these evangelists is most suitable for a particular assignment that will bring the greatest profit.
So, brother, we have two major things based on what he has said here. You have your own calling, which is a function of what God designed you to accomplish upon the face of the earth. And you can actually be fulfilling that calling faithfully. And we also have a purpose of God that hangs over generations. And that purpose can become ripe. Hence, God will need to choose from the pool of faithful servants to satisfy that requirement for a generation or on a generation. And heaven will determine the requirements. But you have given us an eye-opening insight, which is very, very important. Yes, Mike Oropo, what is the difference between the gift of faith and the working of miracles? Okay, no, let me answer that. Don't worry. Let me give you another question to respond to. I didn't know this question and answer time will be this exciting. Would have. Well, we will see how we can be doing it more frequently so that we can. Do we have feedback from those people? Amanda and Musa. Because we are going to. This is from Amanda. Check for Musa. We are going to. She's watching from Virginia. All right. So. Okay. So we are going to release prayers on her. And we'll trust that the hand of God will come upon that lady. And just in case you are sick, you are afflicted, we are going to pray for the sick at some point today. And God is going to heal people of sickness. He's going to heal people of diseases in Jesus' name. Yes, somebody's asking a question. They say, how do you know when the anointing of God is on your life for healing? How do you know? I know that you move in healing, so how do you know when the anointing of God is on your life for healing? You don't need to stand up.
Thank you, sir. Let me attempt. Like you've rightly established, the anointing of God on a man's life, as he commits himself to it, begins to regulate his life.
Yeah.
It affects his consecration.
Yeah.
And that also goes to affect his heart posture.
Yes.
And it also prepares him for the seasons of his life.
Okay.
But every gift of the Spirit also have physical manifestations.
Mm.
For example, the gift of an evangelist puts a burden in his heart for souls to be won into the kingdom.
Okay.
So every time an evangelist looks upon people who are in the fallen world, he has this hunger to bring them back to the Lord.
Okay.
For the gift of healing, what the first thing you would notice as the anointing begins to grow is that it provokes compassion for the sick. If we study the scriptures in the New Testament, the major reason why Jesus healed the sick was his compassion for the sick. So if you begin to tend that anointing, you would notice that there is heightened compassion for the sick. And even while you are ministering, you will discover that every time there is a stirring of the Holy Ghost on your inside, there is a high desire to see those who are physically affected or disabled to get well. And if you see them recover, there is an overwhelming joy in your spirit man. Just like for the evangelist, when souls are won into the kingdom, he's at the peak of his ministration for that day. If a healing evangelist sees people healed, he's overjoyed. And when that is observed, then you consciously begin to study in that direction and trust God to grow in that direction. So I believe it begins with compassion for the sick.
We are always advised to study the anointings that operate upon our lives. When you pray for the sick and the sick are healed, you have not finished your assignment. As the people are sharing their testimonies, interview them. Did you feel anything? How did it? Try to, from their responses, you'll be understanding the administration of what is operational in your life. We'll keep learning its effect on people. We'll keep learning its effect on us. We'll keep learning how to release it more effectively. It's a learning process. Hallelujah. So, Sister Amanda, because it's prayer time, there is a lady that we just spoke that gave us. Yes. Sister Amanda is in Virginia. She was diagnosed with hypertension and diabetes during pregnancy. And this has been persistent since then. Hypertension and diabetes that accompanied a pregnancy. Now, the child has come forth to the glory of God, but the symptoms of that, of those infirmities, have remained. So we see there is a salient intention of the kingdom of darkness to add sorrow into her joy. Meanwhile, the Bible says that the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and it addeth no sorrow to it. And we believe that that child came from God, and because that child has come from God, as a council of believers in this city, can we trust God for the life of Sister Amanda, that her story will be complete, that she will be able to say that God blessed me and did not add any sorrow to it. Satan is trying to corrupt the blessing, and what he did was that he introduced hypertension. And there is a likelihood to think that hypertension is normal when women are pregnant, and so it was considered to be normalcy. And now it is 18 months since she delivered, and the hypertension has come to stay. But we come in the name of the Lord, and we refuse hypertension on that ground, and anything that is responsible for her high glucose level in her blood, we come against it. We come against it. That's what we're going to pray, and there's going to be a release of the power of God. We also have another case here. We have Brother Musa Masia from South Africa. He says, strange things are moving on my body. Dreams of perversion. Spirit wives. And he finds strange cuttings on his body. So we are using these two people as a point of contact to reach out to as many thousands of people that are streaming in right now. And we are asking that the hand of the Lord will be stretched forth. Let yokes be broken. Let lives be touched. Let healings be released. Can we insist that Sister Amanda will be free, that no sorrow will be added to her blessing. No sorrow will be added. Can you bind hypertension, that spirit of infirmity identified as hypertension, as diabetes? Can you bind it? Can you present Brother Musa before God and let the yoke be broken from off his life? Let the yoke be broken from off his life. Esomina branta baboli bakaske tobria jamande kuse mina kadia mino sebre jemina kuria barato sika branta maiko samena branta basopre ketale kombela jemizo soria brante skopalido soka branda kuria esai kaparata mina sebre manta la babo shekela manta la babori basibria iscompresa mato scopriga berra campala sico bramena subriata babolo cose adriga santa babora maschibriata shama nama nama saprata baraba saprata baraba saprata barada basanta embra masubria caperando lo coboro I kamenzo zela, I koskabra tabarata minasgalia, jeniko preskofela minakadia, asendo robosika, rakamparata mensobre. Can you mention their names and say, we use Amanda as a point of contact? We break the yoke of hypertension. We break the yoke of diabetes. We set you free. We set you free. We arrest that demon of infirmity, that demon of sickness. We arrest it in the name of Jesus Christ. That demon that wants to take sound sleep away from you, we arrest that demon. We arrest that demon. Mano sika brento ko parama santa babore. Endorobodobo saka saila. Kembroska me sala babore. In the name of Jesus. Now I see a young man, and this young man, your name is Michael. I see that you are listening from South Africa, and you have been using eyeglasses. I could see how thick the glasses are. I can see how thick the glasses are. And the Lord is asking me to tell you, remove those glasses from your eyes, put it down, and lay your hands on your eyes right now. Because you are going to begin to see without the use of glasses. And as you begin to see without the use of glasses, you can communicate us through the dialogue channel. Let us know the details. Your name is Michael. I can see you clearly in the nation of South Africa. You are using very thick glasses. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break the yoke of blindness, the yoke of blinding spirits. I bind the blinding spirit, and I command you, take your hands off Michael in the name of Jesus Christ. I command those eyes to begin to see, to begin to see, begin to see, begin to see in the name of Jesus. Let those eyes begin to see in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Can we attack high blood pressure on the life of Amanda? Attack it. Attack it. We forbid it. High glucose levels. We attack you. We command the glucose level to begin to respond to the power of God. We command the high blood pressure to begin to respond to the power of God. We break the yoke upon you, Amanda. We break the yoke in the name of Jesus. La Bokopreskis Kopre. La Mansa Libokoria.
La man sopra che te la schebra kunda basali e lobia su capresco pelame jamanteli coprasca ta campendo preminzo kelia cabarasso se le consico presco pantos kilo momonda e se se caprasca tolia pranta. Can you send healing their way? Send healing right now. Licopela muse and everyone under the sound of my voice, everyone watching me from a different place, a different location, we send the healing power of God your way. And we command that yoke upon your life to be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Laboko semina branta baboko tia. Endorobosi brasketo baka brande susa leto kaila. Riman sanda babose selia. Ledos kembres kapatulia bre. Ma inso se la brisco bande. Iscombre che tama supria tala babosa. Entolobo combre. Anteli basabria tababosa. E brescante di mosebri. Alabro sante branta babola. Escamen sozia. We break the yoke of the devil. We break the yoke of the devil. We break the yoke of the devil. We break the yoke of the devil upon the life of anyone that is under the sound of my voice. We break that yoke. We release them from the yoke of the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. Masiso se la brante kusa matela. We speak restoration. We speak restoration. We speak restoration. We speak strength. We speak strength upon you. Liko selimo kombre. Ah, Jesus. La caprosketa menzozela. Incombalatua secabresco. Mande curia babasika. Lida baratoske. Braske compele kumbase. Eli makande kombologose. Embeseke Korea, Likasanda Babura Ma, Abraskeso Sali, Abraskanda Babore, Abraskeso Zela Mandali, Ai Kompala, Escopri Mazilo Compre, Aoka, Barato Sikabranta Baboria, Ebresco Sesanede Kentele, Abrekura Masura, Abrekura Masura, Abrekura Basanda, Abrekura Basakata. Oh, we give you praise. In the name of Jesus. I see a woman that is holding fast to a little child. This little child is afflicted. The little child is sick. And I can see that the temperature of that child is running high. And there's weakness in the body of that child. And you see, in the next few seconds, the hand of God will come upon that child. That child, the hand of God is going to come upon that child. I break the yoke of the devil. I break the yoke of the devil. And I command the spirit of infirmity, go in the name of Jesus Christ. That the healing hand of God rest upon that child this moment in Jesus' mighty name. Finally, before I leave, if you have any relative of yours that has been sick, especially those that have had a condition of ailment that has lasted a long time, you can make demands for the touch of God right now. You can make demands for the touch of heaven. You can make demands for the somebody just healed now. You can make demands. You can make demands for the touch of heaven. You can make demands. Jesus, another person is healed. You can make demands for the touch of heaven. That person will recover. That person will recover. That the hand of God will descend upon that life. The hand of God. The hand of God. The hand of God. The hand of God will descend upon that life. Gilamo mosiketele. Brusketa mino kubria. Iko samina branta babolia. And there are two people that are receiving the healing ministry. There are two people that are receiving the healing ministry. I don't know if they are online or in our midst presently, but two people are receiving the healing ministry. The healing ministry. I so se la kizo bresko pe la mina kadia bresko pe lando si kobre la masala ba boria
inscobrela kumba salaba kuria insobrela bakapreskuva lamina shibriata babolokunda insobrela zibria kapela basaye abraskata babori baletobrela baskubriata babolokuze ambrekota ame samina abrata babolia abrekota ame shibriata babolokunde. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I beheld the light, and the light came from heaven. And I saw the light, it shined like this. It shined like this. And the Lord began to speak to me and began to tell me that there is someone in our midst that is going to have, you are close to a financial breakthrough. A financial breakthrough that is going to change your story. A financial breakthrough that is going to change your story. It's going to change your story. It's going to change your story. The hand of God. And I saw eyes. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. You see, the angels of the Lord are present. The angels of the Lord are present. And for some of us, what God is doing is that He's increasing our measure. He's increasing our measure. An anointing you've been walking in before this time, but there is an heightened measure of that grace. Heightened measure of that grace. Heightened measure. Heightened measure. Heightened measure. The base cumbre que pacutale. Escobrigo vasicos que bromese y que barida. Oh! I just saw in the spirit. And I saw something in the form of an idol, shaped in form of an idol. There is a deity, a spirit that have been fighting your destiny. But I saw the idol fall. I saw the idol fall. I saw the idol fall. I saw it fall in the spirit. I curse it in the spirit. I curse it in the name of Jesus. I curse it in the name of Jesus. And like Moses. And like Moses, I say, let the people go in the name of Jesus Christ. Kabosika brende, brende basubra, brende kuse, mai sasa. There are four of us here. I don't know whether you are online or whether you are in the auditorium. And I see that after the lockdown, your life is going to spring forth with a speed, with a divine speed. A divine speed. Because God is going to back you up. God is going to back you up. Another season entirely is opening up after the lockdown. Oh God. Buseke kabakuba. Ilambro sese. Isko brege dali. Jamenakuria baski tombre. Labakumpela. Iska pres kompeleke basku. Jamatalia. Ebres kompela maboria. Eskepre. Sabino compre Zamantala Baboria, I compre da Basuba, Agabala Takabala, Agabala Takuske, Masala Babori Bakaria, Arababori Maseka, Prescopa Lanto Minas Gabri, Aperamo Santa Baboria, Shepanseli Boconte, Epresketa Mansala Babo, Aprasketa Kuri Mamada Talia, Isamina Kata Baboria, Epresketa Kenda Babora. Akabalada Branda Basama, Barosa Bena, Ebrada Balada Branda Baboria, Kabolodorobo, Kabolodorobo Seca, Ebrada Santa Baboria, Ela Babaya Katala Babo, Akabalada Branda Babo, Samakanda Branda Baboria, Esamina, Ebrakanda, Ebra Semina, Ebra Kabalada, Ebra Santa Baboria, Ebra Santa, Ebra Kabalada Branda Babo, Alalala Babala. Alalalalala baba, abrada basanta, agapaita, agabasanta, agabanda baboria, agasemina, agabanda, agababora, 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 hey! Alaba mama masik, randa batola kisko. Rekete la kalaba bola, shemana ni mahai, epres kope, epres kope, ala la 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 la. I beheld and I saw in the spirit. I saw a place where several things were buried, and an angel began to label, began to exhume things. Part of the things that I saw is the bone. This bone there, exhumed. And then I saw something this size, like a log, being exhumed. It means that someone was killed. Someone was killed and the blood was used to water this altar in order for this set of demonic activities to begin to fight. I just saw the demon escape. I prophesy to you, there's a new morning, a new day from the Lord, a new day in the name of Jesus. Kaboseli amberaso copria capella mina cadia elasco pre cabai compalatosi. There's someone here, what has never happened in your family, it will happen through your life. Yes, it will happen through your life. It has never happened before, but it will happen. It will happen through your life. In the name of Jesus. We prophesy a new season. A scaled up level of grace. Backing from the Lord. When you speak words, it will not be empty. God will back it up. He will back it up. In the name of Jesus. Receive grace. Receive grace. Like I said, four of you, after the lockdown, you are taking a flight. Yes, the volume of your destiny has been increased. The volume. Men that rejected you must accept you. And your voice will be heard in the name of Jesus. There's something that God is doing about finances in somebody's life. He's doing something about finances. He's doing something about finance. It will happen suddenly. It will happen suddenly. It will happen suddenly. Kaboboria tabena shiko bre. Kaboboria breskopena ikobranta baboria. Aliko bre kuvazeze ekembria vavalata mena kusketa mena kulia. Kabesko bre la basuka mantali bakadia. Ikambre zozomi zemina kuria basanta babolo kumbre. Babushi kateli, maiko prasketo kumba, ekobaria kabesame, amantoske, amantoria babalita. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.